Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we praise his name for the grace. It does not take human effort or ability, but we know that it is the mercies of God that he helps us. And it's something that we appreciate. And those who've been listening and those who give us feedback and questions and further things, God bless you. Yeah, so today we're in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And we are still looking at the man Saul, and today we are going to see how he now is called Brother Saul. And for me, I think that's a blessing that I see how this persecutor, this man who has killed the Jews, he has killed the believers, the Christians, he has killed men, he has killed women, he has dragged them to prison. He has come all the way from Jerusalem to Damascus with letters, with soldiers. You know, he was given a guard. He went with a team. He was on his horse, you know. And he's going with this team to go and arrest Christians, people of the way, drag them back to Jerusalem, throw them into prison, have them killed, the one who was, you know, the one who was consenting to the death of Stephen, to the murder of Stephen, who was being publicly stoned for preaching the gospel. And he is the one who God has chosen to become his chosen vessel, to carry the message of the cross to Gentiles, to kings, you know, and to the people of Israel. And this is the man that is God has chosen, and this is the man that God has dealt with. And I just want us to see how God first of all deals with him, and then what is the response that he has, and how God has to negotiate with Ananias to come and bring him back. Now the Bible says, we'll read Acts chapter 9 verse 6, the Bible says, "So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And this is where we stopped yesterday, where we understood that, and where we highlighted that anyone that wants to walk with God must not only believe that he is the Savior, but must believe that he is Lord. Not only must we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but we must also acknowledge him as Lord. And that means that he controls our life. He is in charge of our lives. We want to obey him. We want to live a life that pleases him. And we want to go after his desires, not our own way. It is not about what God is doing for us, but it's about what we will do for God. Because the Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So ideally, as we walk with God, we hear from him. We are supposed to ask him, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means that which God has prepared, that which God has purposed, that which God wants us to do is what we should do. And that is why Jesus said that, "I do nothing of my own accord. I only do as I see my Father doing. The work that I do, it is not I that do it, but it is my Father that worketh in me." So one of the things that we now start to see is that Saul asks the big question, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus answers him that, "I am Jesus of whom you are persecuting." And then he asks the next question, "What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do?" Then the Bible says, "Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." Now, I want you to picture this man who has come with all these soldiers, coming to arrest believers. He is this Pharisee of the Pharisees. He has been brought up under Gamaliel. He is certain that he is doing the right thing. He is against, you know, the Christians, against the believers, and he is coming. And all of a sudden, the leader, the person who has been sent to guide them, is struck blind. The Bible says the people saw the light, they heard the voice, but they could not see anyone. And it was noonday. You can imagine at noon is the brightest sun that you expect. It is when you expect the light that is brightest. But the Bible says a bright light shone that was brighter than the sun of the noonday. That is telling us that Christ, he is light. God is light. He clothes himself in light. He is brighter than the sun, than the hottest sun. And that was our Lord and Savior. And that's why he recognized, Lord, who are you? And the Bible tells us that when he asked, Lord, what must I do? He was told, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. You will be told what you must do. And so you can imagine this man who is, you know, without eyes, is blind, and now he's being led by the same soldiers who came with him. But then God did not just leave him without direction. The Bible says, verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. So what happens is that Saul goes into the street called Straight, and he goes to the house of Judas, and he is left there. I believe the soldiers that he came with abandoned him, because they have come with a mission. The man with a mission, the man with a mandate to arrest people, is now blind, and they have no option but to leave him. And he is, you know, he's entered into a city blind. He cannot see. He's led by the hand. And the Bible says for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. That is to tell you that he immediately started to respond to the call and to the voice that had spoken to him. He was already starting to be obedient. And one of the things that I say, that the person that you encounter when you meet Christ can determine the kind of Christianity that you have, because you can see that Saul, immediately from the onset of his salvation, starts to fast, and the Bible also tells us he starts to pray. And not only does he do that, then also God gives him vision. That's why I read verse 11. It says, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. So immediately he was blind, immediately he was led into the city of Damascus, immediately he goes to the house of Judas. The Bible says he does not eat or drink for 3 days, and he is praying. And the Bible says, verse 12, and in a vision, so that means from the onset of his salvation, God had already started to open his eyes, his spiritual eyes, and he started having visions. And the Bible says, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias, so that means in the vision already, he has already seen Ananias coming to lay his hands on him and he will see again. Then verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. So you can see that Ananias, and for me what strikes me is that Ananias is not being described as an apostle. He's not being described as, you know, as a deacon. The Bible just says he was a disciple called Ananias. And that is to tell you that when we spoke that there is multiplication of the disciples, we have spoken that each and every believer is being brought to the maturity of the apostles, that they can be called disciples. Why? They have grown into maturity. They have been taught the word of God, and they are able to stand on their own, that when they can go to a city, they can be able to be guardians of that city. They can be able to be the ones who are praying. And when someone even comes to that city, they have to come through them. The Lord has to speak to them. Now, it tells you that this man was not speaking to the Lord for the first time. It was not the first time that he was speaking to the Lord, because he had already been accustomed to speaking to the Lord. And that is why when the Lord speaks to him, he is not concerned to ask, "Who are you, Lord?" He immediately discusses with Jesus, and he tells him, "Honestly, God, why do you want me to go and see this man? I know for sure, for a certain, that what the things he has done to the people in Jerusalem, and that he has come with the authority of the chief priest to come and arrest, to bind up everyone who is a believer." And the Lord answers him. And for me, when I was looking at this, I was reminded of Jonah. When Jonah in the Old Testament, when he was being sent to Nineveh, he also argues with the Lord, and he's like, "Lord, I don't want to go." Why? Because the people of Nineveh were wicked. They were wicked, that actually his greatest desire was actually that the Lord should judge them and that they go under destruction. Because it was a wicked nation, and when he was being told to preach to them, Jonah was not interested. And that is why he would rather go to another place until God has to cause trouble on the ship, on the waters, and he's thrown into the waters, and he's swallowed by the fish, and when he's swallowed by the fish, he's brought back to Nineveh. And remember when the people repent, he said, "Lord, did I not know that, you know, you would have had mercy on them?" So he was not even happy that the people repented, because he actually wanted them to suffer. And this is at times the reality of people. We want unbelievers to die. We want persecutors to die. We want those who have, you know, done so much harm for the gospel to die. We want them to be punished by God. Let them go into hellfire. But this is not the heart of God. The heart of God, the Bible tells us that he is patient with men, not wanting them to perish, but wanting them to come to repentance. So that person that you think you want to die, think of that rapist, think of that murderer, think of that persecutor, that person that is killing, you know, believers and all that, God still died for them. Jesus died for them too, and he actually wants them to be born again. And that is why we will never understand grace, because to human beings, we believe that men deserve what they get. We believe that men deserve justice. But the gospel of God, the gospel of grace, is that men are sinners and are in need of a savior. And it is only the blood of Jesus that saves us from sin. When we come to it for its cleansing, then we receive the forgiveness of sins and we become accepted into the beloved, receiving an inheritance of the saints, and we become children of God. Now, our brother here, Ananias, argues, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." He is a chosen vessel. He is a chosen vessel. This is God speaking of the mandate of Saul to Ananias, and he's telling him, this man is my chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Look at what God is saying about Saul. He is my chosen vessel. He will bear my name before Gentiles. That means he will go to Gentiles. He will go to kings. And that is why Saul has, and Paul later has, an anointing to preach to kings, to King Agrippa, to King Festus, to Governor Festus. He preaches to Felix. You know, he preaches to, even in Rome, he preaches to all these kings. And the Bible says that he has an anointing. He will preach my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, remember God had said earlier that you know that go, you, I will show you the things that you, that I will appear to you, and the things which I will, you'll be, I'll make you a minister and a witness of the things to which you have seen and the things to which I will reveal to you. Now he's also telling him that I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. What kind of calling is this that God is telling you that I am calling you to suffer for me? To suffer for me from the onset, you're going to suffer for the sake of Christ. Now, if you tell that to someone who does not believe in, or rather who has a wrong doctrine, they will say, "Behind me, Satan." But you can see when God is calling Saul, he says, for the things that he must suffer for my name's sake. It's not just about suffering for the sake of suffering, but suffering for the sake of Christ. And the Bible says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And I want us to see how Ananias says it. He immediately goes, and the Bible says, what is his first salutation to Saul? He calls him Brother Saul. That is to tell you that Ananias believed what the Lord Jesus had revealed to him, and he believed that Saul is truly born again and that he is his brother. He is his brother. This persecutor, this one that has been killing my brothers and sisters, those of the faith, he called him Brother Saul. And I believe that those were words of comfort to Saul, to know that he is already accepted. There are those that to whom by the Lord Jesus has revealed to him that he is accepted. And the Bible says that, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." I remember one of our preachers in campus used to say, Ananias was a true Pentecostal, or the true filled with the, because for him he was sent to go and have him, you know, to just open his eyes. But he adds, not only be, receive your sight, but also be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also love how, I think it's Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Remember I'd said earlier that, and in the previous message, that three times is what is mentioned about the conversion of Saul. There are three descriptions of it in Acts chapter 9, in Acts 22, and in Acts 26. And let us just look at the account of Acts 22 and how he's also called Brother Saul, and then we'll come back to Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, verse 12, "Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul,'" look at again what is the words that I used, "'Brother Saul, receive your sight.'" Now in this part, it does not speak of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And God willing, we'll be able to look also at that topic of baptism in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is also an important topic of the faith. And the Bible says, "And that same hour I looked up to him, and he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth.'" So not only are you a chosen vessel to go and bear my name before Gentiles, before kings and the children of Israel, not only are you going, I'm going to show you the things you must suffer for my name, but also God has chosen you that you should know his will, you should know God's will, and that you should see the just one. That means he's going to see God, and to also hear the voice of his mouth. And he says, "For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard." And verse 16 says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now that tells you that he not only told him, receive your sight, he also told him, be filled with the Spirit. He also told him, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That means that he already brought to him the gospel. And once he recognized that he believed, he had already called him Brother Saul. But then he tells him now to do the due diligence. Remember, we spoke about baptism in water is a command. It is an obedience. It is an outward manifestation of what God has done inwardly, and it's a public demonstration to the world that you have died to your old man. It's a burial ground. You've died to your old man, and now you are raised with Christ. And the Bible says, verse 18, we go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 18, the Bible says, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales." That means he immediately received back his sight, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately, verse 20, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, I just want us to see that the disciples in Damascus accepted him. Remember, the Damascus were, they were Gentiles, but there were also some Jews who had grown up, you know, outside of Jerusalem. So they were ready to receive him. But if you see what happens when he goes to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that, and maybe just to quickly look at that before we close, in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus." So I want us to see that it took revelation for Ananias to call Saul Brother Saul. And it also took Barnabas, who we call the son of encouragement, the son of consolation, to go and bring Saul to the apostles and tell him that this man is truly converted, for the disciples in Jerusalem to accept him. Why? Because he had killed their brothers and sisters. He had killed the believers. But what are we seeing today? That when someone has turned to the Lord, when they have believed, no matter what they had been in the past, we have a responsibility as a church to call them brother, sister, come into the fold. Come into the fold. You are family with us. You are a child of God, and you are accepted. And I'll stop there, and I pray that God will give us more insight into his word. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel.
Okay, fine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth, for your word, that you call us to accept those that have come to the faith and to guide them. And we can see this man that has converted, that he is a brother. And I pray for hearts that see the things the way you see them, that we are able to call one another, to encourage one another, to be united with those that have turned into the faith, and to see them as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and as children and as joint heirs with you, and to accept that there is a mandate that you place on each of them in their lives. And by grace of God, you are able to place men who will guide them in that purpose, and you are able to help them. Oh God, help our hearts, oh God, that we will stop having hearts that judge men, but to have hearts that receive men in the mercy and in the forgiveness that you've accorded them, that we can also show them the same grace. I pray for your brethren all over the world, them that are hearing the word this day and this morning, that the word will bear truth in them, they will bear life in them, and that they shall experience your spirit and life. Pray for healing, pray for direction, pray for grace, pray for wisdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning.